Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, there are some basic things that out of the basic simplicity of them comes great wisdom from the Word of God. Number one, the Bible is a spiritual documentation of the reality of God. And inherent in the Word of God is the power of God. And inherent in the Word of God is that which unleashes and releases the power of God, which is faith. Even if a person doesn't believe in anything to do with the gifts of the Spirit, God's healing power, signs, wonders, and miracles, but believes in the new birth, they still believe in the greatest miracle that God does on the earth. And the new birth is a release of the power of God into the life of the sinner who's undone and without God. It regenerates him. He becomes one with God. The Bible calls him a brand new creature in Christ. Now that's a miracle. Now, there's no physical, financial, and actually really no soulish change that takes place in an individual when they get saved. Salvation is of the Spirit. But you have to really grasp hold of that so that you can understand that everything God ever is going to give you, get to you, give for you, is not somewhere way up there in heaven. He's deposited in you. It's in you. The promised land of the new covenant is not heaven. Heaven is heaven. The promised land of the new covenant is everything that God has provided for us in Christ. And just as Israel had to do what? They had to enter in, so you have to enter in. And the problem is we can't enter in as a nation. We can't even enter in as a church. You have to enter in as an individual. Then God takes those individuals that enter in, makes the church out of it. That's what the corporate body of Christ is. Amen? So you have to understand that these realities, I like to label them how they're labeled. These truths. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. What's so good about that is He is the Word. John 1, chapter 1, the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So we have to understand God and His Word, that's synonymous. They're one in themselves. And then the reality is the will of God. Everybody's all concerned about the will of God. Well, that's the will of God and the Word of God are the same thing. You want to know the will of God? Well, it's right here in the book. Now, here's what we've endeavored to do over the years is to show people through the documentation of the Word of God that which we believe as the examples in the body of Christ, as those that are supposed to be the highest servants and the leaders in the body of Christ, that through living this gospel, you can segregate yourself from the natural world and actually live a supernatural spiritual life. You say, well, I don't believe that. Then what are you going to do with me? I just got good luck? Come on, church. I've not robbed the church or robbed our ministries. I haven't done any of that. I, just the opposite. I've probably given much more than I should. I've made this thing work in my life. And if you don't make it work in your life, it ain't going to work. You can sit on a church pew, the hottest church in the world, and think, well, somehow I'm going to get something from... No, you got to get it yourself. You got to get a hold of you. Man, I can remember Pastor John Osteen pounding that into our head at Lakewood Church back in the day, just saying to us, man, you look around here and see these buildings and see these people and think this is something automatic. You've got to labor for these things in the kingdom of God. And in your own personal life, it's the same way. There is a labor that takes place in the Spirit with you literally realizing my source is not what I can do with my hands. My source is what I can do with my faith. Because that taps into what God has done for us in Christ. Anything, listen to me, anything and everything that is righteous is enhanced to a greater level by the Word of God. A righteous business, a righteous marriage. Come on, church. Amen. Anything that's righteous, what? It gets enhanced by the Word and by the Spirit of God. Now, let's go to 2 Peter real quick. I know we have taught on this before, but we're kind of taking a different direction. Go to verse 3. Yeah, chapter 1, 2 Peter. Verse 3, according as His divine power hath. Now that's a key right there. And if you'll go through your New Testament letters to the church and circle every past tense word of this new covenant, you'll see there ain't nothing God's going to do for us. He's already done it all. He's already, now listen to me. This'll blow your mind. He's already done everything He needs to do to bring it to a conclusion. He needs to do nothing else to glorify our bodies. He needs to do nothing else to forgive our sin. He needs to do nothing else. He's already done it all, and then He set it in motion. You say, well, I don't understand how He could do that. Because He doesn't live in time like you live in time. Time does not intimidate Him. Time does not block Him. Time does not suppress Him. He is the master and the creator of time itself. So He don't have any problem with it. So what we must realize is this God, this enormous, magnificent, loving, intelligent entity that is our Heavenly Father, that is omnipotent and omnipresent, He knows what He has done in the spirit realm. He knows it. He knows what Jesus did when He rose from the dead. He knows what happened when Jesus poured His blood on the mercy seat. He knows what happened when the Word of God began to be penned. And He knows what happened when it began to be gathered and put into a canonization or into a form in which we can reference. Amen. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. The evidence of the Word of God being true, number one, is stand the test of time. Show me another document. Show me another, Shakespeare wrote something back. No. I'm talking about, why don't we go back to the beginning? Amen? And I like to say this. The Word of God is so unique in the way that it's put together. It does answer many spiritual questions, but more than that, it removes the doubt of the individual so the individual can believe there is a God and that there is a God that has done what needs to be done to get you out of what you're in. For the sinner and for the believer. Now, according as His divine power hath, past tense, given unto us three or four things. No? Just seeing if you're paying attention. Has given unto us all things. Now listen. All things. Now then it qualifies it. That pertain unto life. Everybody say life. And godliness. Now, what the problem is when you get saved, you drink of that cup of life, and God has designed the Word of God and His Spirit in you and on you to empower you to drink of that cup of godliness. I'm going to let that settle a minute. You say, why? Because most people are very willing to drink of the cup of life, but very unwilling to drink of the cup of godliness. You say, why? Because that means you have to change. You know, that almost caused me to just say, hey, you know, Lord, here's what I'll do. I love You. I'm glad You brought me back. But I tell you, I can't do this. I can't live this life. I mean, I was literally at that point about 6 weeks after I came to the Lord because so many Christians that I met were so ungodly. I thought, I came out of this. And here it is in the church, and here it is in this prayer meeting, and here it is in these people. So I had to get my eyes off people. I had to get my eyes off people. And I had to begin to find God for myself in a godly way. And I had to begin to drink as much out of the cup of life as I was drinking out of the cup of godliness. Drinking out of the cup of godliness keeps your flesh and your mind out of trouble. Drinking out of that spiritual cup empowers your spirit, and what it does, it prepares you to step over and live a godly life. Amen. Amen. Now let me tell you, church, this is what's going to be conducive to you making it in these last days, is living a righteous, holy, godly life. You cannot play with sin any longer. Listen to me. You say, why? Because the paychecks are being written too quick. Did you hear what I'm saying? You say, what do you mean? The paychecks are being written quicker and quicker and quicker. You say, why is that? Because we're heading toward the judgment of God. Just like the water receded in Noah's day and began to recede from the earth in the same way, the acceptable year of the Lord is beginning to recede and the day of the judgment of our God is beginning to dawn on this earth. Now, it's not going to happen in any kind of fullness till the church is gone. because we are the ones that withhold. But I wonder how many of us are actually going to go. You say, why? Because we must live a life in the life of God, and we must live a godly life. Amen. You say, what does that mean? You can't be involved in anything ungodly. If it's ungodly, you better get out of it. You better get it out of your life. All right, listen to me. If it's ungodly, you better get it out of your life. You say, why? There is a paycheck. The wage of sin is death. And what is death? Separation. And what will happen? The enemy will separate you from God, from your church. He'll do it from your wife or your husband. He'll do it from anything he can get his death into. He'll separate you from your finances, from your joy, from your peace, from your destiny, from your assignment, from your calling, from anything you yield to him, he will destroy. And God says, I've given you everything you need. Everything you need for life and godliness. Amen? Ooh, that excites me. I'm glad. I'm not going to live ungodly. I'm going to live righteous. It says, whereby... No, let me... I'm fixing to skip this here. It says, that pertaining life, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That word virtue is the word power. Did you know God has called you to glory and power? Notice the word and, the conjunction connecting the two words. Glory and power. Everybody say glory and power. Everybody say glory and power. What do you think God wants to do? He wants to empower you so that his glory can manifest. He wants to empower you so that he can do things in your life, do things in your marriage, do things in your family, do things in your finance, do things in your body, that at the end of the day, everyone knows that God, it's God, and God gets the glory. As that glory spreads, more of his glory gets to be known. Amen. Now notice, let me get back over here. Wherefore, or whereby, are giving unto us exceeding what? Great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Everybody say escape route. Some of you need an escape route. You can get out of what you're into. Well, God's going to provide them if you'll walk down them. What was that old story they used to tell about the guy that was, he was drowning in a flood and he got on the roof of his house, prayed, God save me, God save me. Guy came by on a boat, said, get in. He said, no, I'm waiting for God to save me. And so, you know, guy left, water kept rising, and a helicopter came by, put out a ladder and said, you know, get on, we'll save you. He said, no, I'm waiting for God to save me. Helicopter flew off. Flood rose, guy drowned. Went to heaven. Got to heaven and said, God, why didn't you save me? He said, I sent a boat and a helicopter. What's wrong with you? Amen? The same thing's true of the Word. He's already sent the boat and the helicopter. Some of you drowning on the roof, it's time to get in the boat or the helicopter and allow God to deliver you and get you out of what you got yourself into or what the devil has got you into. Now notice. The corruption that is in this world through what? Lust. Now notice, whereby are given unto us, oh, this is so good, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, everybody say, by these, you might be partakers of what? The divine nature. Now notice, great and precious what? Promises. Now, the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians, all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen, to the glory of God by us. Amen? All the promises of God. One translation, I think it's Amplified, says, for all the promises that God made, they all find their so be it in the person of Jesus Christ, and an amen unto us. Amen? So Jesus is what? The fulfillment of the promises of God. Now, as long as this word stays on this page, it remains a promise. But the day you make a decision to accept and walk in the light of the Word, this thing goes from being a promise to a gift given. I don't think I've ever rejected any gift, no matter how goofy it may have looked. You say, why? Because it was a gift. Amen. But everything that God has done for us in Christ, all the promises of God, from Genesis 15 to the end of Revelation, everything that God has said belongs to us. But it doesn't work in your life till you appropriate it, walk in the light of it, and make it your life. Listen, I hate to say this because people get goofy in their mind. The Word must become flesh. The Word must become flesh, must be spoken, must be believed on in the heart, and must be acted on. Then what happens? You get the same result. That's the result you get. Amen. So, let me get back to the scripture real quick. Whereby are given to us what? Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Think of the divine nature. That's the nature of God. That's the nature of God. Nature of life. Nature of joy. Nature of healing, health and righteousness, godliness. Everything about God. And I've noticed something about things that are going on in this day and hour. You cannot let the infectious nature of this generation get into you. Because the number one sign, or the first sign we see of the last days or of the end times, is what? All of the skeptics. Now, most of the skeptics today is called the news media. Especially when it comes to godly things, you know. And, you know, they make their attempts to look holy. And we were watching some news this morning, and there were a couple of movie stars, and they were, you know, kind of praying a prayer, and people thought that was so holy. So I thought to myself, is this all people know? Is this all they know? That maybe one during 1 month, Lent, you might. Come on, church. See what religion has done to this world? See how it has so messed it up? That's why we got to get back to the purity of the Word of God, the righteousness produced. The Bible says that by this we're what? We are partakers of the divine nature. Not only are we able to be separate from all of that filth and all that garbage, when it comes to them looking and seeing us, they have to see something different. That's why you've got to be careful. Be careful, church. Oh, church, I'm telling you, better listen to me. Be careful with the entertainment you allow to come into your information gates in this day and hour especially. You say, why? Because a lot of it is designed to either put you into fear or to put you into terror or to cause you to question your faith. Have you noticed how much of that is going on right now? There is an attack on the true belief system of the human being, and people are questioning their faith and questioning God now like never before. Listen, this should be a time when we question God. This should be a time when we're more sure than we've ever been. We need to be a generation convinced of the reality of the Word of God and it working in our life to produce supernatural results. Woo-wee. Having escaped the corruption that is in this world through the lust. I'm amazed at how men lust and women lust for money. Have you ever noticed that? What would you do with $1 billion? You'd wreck your life. And probably 10, 12 people around you. Isn't it amazing how we're so wise that we know what to do with what we don't have? And ain't got a clue to know what to do with what we do have. 6,000 years, honey, we're at the bottom of the barrel. You better get in the Word. Amen. You say, what do you mean? 6,000 years from the glory and presence of God to where we are today. You better get into the Word. You better make that your standard for life. If you think you're something, you ain't nothing. We're the runts. We're the last of the litter. We're it, church. This is it. This is it. And our only hope is the Word. Our only hope is the Spirit of God in us in these last days. Because God, listen, God is so smart. He knows how to do. You take the the people that have all the way down from creation and then the fall, all that could happen to mankind, 6,000 years. And then this last group, there's going to be some overcomers in that group? There's going to be in that group people full of the Holy Ghost, casting out devils, shouting the glory of God. People that will actually go up in the rapture, well, maybe in some isolated place, you know, somewhere south of Tulsa. I say no. I say, no, there's a grace. Woo, come on, church, there's a grace that God puts on those that'll serve Him in the last of the last days. And the harder the times get, the greater the grace is. Why? Because we're seeking the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, which empowers us with the divine nature, which causes us to step into greater graces. Oh, hallelujah. What a good time we're going to have. And besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience again godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Which produces what? Everything you need. What it talked about right there in the promise, right there in 2 Peter chapter 1, that all of those promises of God empower us to partake of His nature. Oh my goodness. Now, real quick, how's my time? Good. Go to Hebrews. We'll pick this back up here in a minute. Precious, precious promises of great value, high price, highly esteemed or cherished. That's good. Amen? Praise God. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Now, before we read over in Hebrews chapter 10, I wrote this down. I was praying and meditating on this. I'd forgotten I wrote this down. If you entertain the thought, that don't work. You say, what do you mean? When it comes to healing, prosperity, salvation, anything that has to do, if you entertain the thought, that don't work. Without going through the process of believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth, standing on the Word of God, doing everything you know to do, rejoicing in Him, if you still entertain that thought, well, that don't work, that don't work, that don't work, listen, you've turned yourself into a fool. That's like, you know, some invention, some high level invention. When they begin to invent things, did you know most people did not accept the inventions that were invented when they were invented? They didn't. The first cars that came down the road, horses bucked and threw riders off, and people with wagons and stuff, their wagons went off the road and they stunk and they didn't run very well. And people were like, that'll never last. Well, now we got Chevrolet, Ford, and half Japan over here, amen? If you entertain the thought that don't work without having applied it to your life, you have been set up by the devil. Then I wrote this little note. Don't make your bed hard. You'll have to lie in it. Amen? Don't make your bed hard. You'll have to lie in it. You say, what do you mean by that? Don't know to do something in the kingdom of God and in faith and then think that, well, all these problems I'm going through. Be willing. Listen, I'll tell you what. God, I believe this. I believe God loves a thoroughbred sinner. How many know what a thoroughbred sinner is? I believe He loves a thoroughbred sinner much more than He loves some old lukewarm. Brother Osteen used to say, mamby-pamby. I don't even know what that means. That's probably politically incorrect. Amen. Then he used to say it like this. Any old dead fish can float down the stream. It takes a live one to swim up it. Amen. And that's what God's called you to be, is a live fish, not a dead fish, floating down the stream of sin, doubt, and unbelief. No, no. Yeah, it takes more effort. Yeah, there's going to be some rocks. There's going to be some shallow water. But if you stay with it, you're going to develop something called faith, which is a strength in you. Now, real quick, we've got just a couple of minutes. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 33. Cast not away therefore, now notice this, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, I'll minister to anybody that needs help, but it's very difficult. Unless an anointing, gift of the Spirit, or something of God's provision is working, which operates not as we will, but as He wills. It's very hard to minister to people who just going to see if it works. Go try it out. Check it out. Now, I've seen times when God would really move in times like that. When you've got a move of God, many times that's the only people are being ministered to. But in a corporate setting where we're expected by God to live under the grace of God as a baby Christian as we grow up into the things of God, we partake of the what? The divine nature of God. So instead of being in the healing line, you should be ministering in the healing line. So instead of always needing money and calling the church to pay your rent, you're paying someone else's rent. Come on, church. Instead of always being needed to be encouraged, you're always out encouraging somebody else. And it takes some time to fight your way into that mindset, but if you will do it, you can get there. And the Bible says what? Cast not away what? Your confidence. What is your confidence in? Now think about this. Your confidence is what you build by experience. Amen. Hey, listen, when I go duck hunting, if there's ducks, I'm confident I'm going to kill some. You say, well, I've been doing it 50 years. I mean, I got pictures all over my wall. Looks terrible. I should take them down. Looks like a train wreck. All those bloody birds. Amen. But I'm confident. I'm confident. You say, well, I've had years of experience. So that builds what? You take an athlete. How does an athlete get confident? Experience. How does a man get confident in his business? Experience. How does someone get confident in some skill that they learn? A surgeon or even an educator. How do they get confident in what they're teaching? Well, they've done it. They've got experience in it, and they have proven it. That's why God says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. God, listen, God has already laid this stuff out for us and given it to us. He wants us to prove it. Are you saved? Prove it. Filled with the Holy Ghost? Prove it. Do you cast out devils? Prove it. Do you walk in prosperity? Prove it. See what I mean? Do you live righteous and holy? Prove it. Listen, there's a sick and dying world, that is in the death throes of the last of the last days before judgment comes, church. Do you realize that? This world is fixing to come under the judgment of God. It's going to be horrible. 21 major earth events happening in 7 years that almost wipes this planet clean. Horrible, horrible, horrible things. You don't want to be here for that. You don't be in the midst of that. I mean, why would you trade anything? Why would you trade anything? Any pleasure, any feeling, any mindset, anything that, why would you trade that? Why would you cast the confidence of what God has brought you out of all of these years you've been serving God? Why would you cast that confidence right here at the last of the last days when God says, hey, it's 2-minute warning. I'm fixing to bring out refreshments that's going to empower everybody to finish the game. You ever notice what they do at the 2-minute warning? Before they start playing again, they refresh the troops. They refresh the players. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. How's my time? I'm almost finished. You getting something out of this? Yeah. Now here's the key. For you have need of patience. So cast not your confidence with what? Great recompense of reward. What you've learned is going to help you. What you've learned is going to help you. I said what you learned is going to help you. Which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of what? Patience. Now, here's the key about patience. That's the word elpis, cheerful endurance with consistency. No, that's hope. But cheerful endurance with consistency is the word for patience, is the definition for patience. But here's something you have to realize. Righteousness in you, released and expressed, produces that patient ability to just wait on the Lord. Not to say, well, we'll just see what God will do. When you ain't done nothing, where the Bible says, and having done all, what? Having done all? Having done all, stand. Amen. But right there in your moment of crisis, but you have been obeying the word, you've been speaking the word, you've been meditating on, listen, a grace comes on you that helps you go through anything and get you on the other side. It doesn't stop in the middle and build a tent. Yea, though I walk what? Through the valley of the shadow of death. I will what? Fear no evil. So you have to realize you're going to have some patience. Now let me help you with this. Your flesh is not patient. And your mind is not patient. And if you develop impatience in your mind and your mind and your flesh will control you with appetites. I got to have it. I need it. I got to have it. See, the whole world is under that right now. They're under the oppression. There's a strong oppressive spirit on the world right now. Many people that are alcoholics, their alcoholism is raging right now. Many people that are drug addicts, their drug addiction is raging right now and driving them onto the streets if it's not killing them. You say, why? Because the heat's been turned up on society. And anything that you've coddled, anything you've held on to, what's it going to do? It's going to do whatever devils do when devils get going. All it needs is an expression in you. Because it knows, listen, the devil knows you know how to believe. So it wants to give you something to believe so you can mess up your life and the life of other people around you. That's where you've got to be patient. Listen, in prayer, in walking with the Lord, and in God speaking to you, you better be very careful. You better be very careful. Anything you cannot wait upon. Now, don't get me wrong. I know God speaks to people, and when He does, you know it's God. To try to keep you out of danger or keep you from doing something stupid in a business deal or something like that, you know that God can do that. But I'm talking about the other things of life, pursuing the destiny of life, pursuing the assignments of life. You've got to take your time. A wise old prophet told me one time, he said, anything you're not willing to pray about for 30 days is your flesh. When I met Leah and figured out I had feelings for her, I fasted for 30 days. Now, I didn't go without food for 30 days, but I did for about 15 of those days. I'd fast a day, then I'd eat like one meal. Then I'd fast a day, maybe eat two meals. But I didn't even talk to her for a month. I didn't even look. She'd walk by at church and I'd turn my face the other way. She probably wanted to kill me. Yeah, she said she was very annoyed. But I would. I didn't want to make it as a mistake. Marry the wrong woman. The people were telling me this terrible story about a pastor, built a big church, had a great time, ran off with his 21-year-old workout girl. What do they call them? Physical whatever. You know, I mean, years of ministry, huge mega church. Sell it all, millions of dollars worth of property and land, sell it for $2 million, give $1 million to your ex-wife, take $1 million, take off with your... So somebody was telling me, I said, well, you know, they wanted to know my opinion. I said, well, you need to marry the wrong woman. He looked at me like, what? I said, married the wrong woman. He said, how do you know that? I said, well, if I'd have done that, my wife would have shot me dead. See, some people are just a little more extreme than others. And you better get on that extreme side if you're going to live godly and live in the life of God. You can't play with sin. You can't play with unrighteousness. I mean, it'll get on you and you'll start to smell of it. Amen? I'm glad we got all these flowers here right now. Hallelujah. Let's close this down real quick. Now, for you have need of patience. And after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise for a little while, and yet he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Now, let me just say this. In closing, we're fixing in April. We're going to, in our prayer, twice a month in a prayer, during prayer, we're going to run our School of the Spirit, which will be about a 50-minute class before prayer, then prayer, then a 50-minute class after prayer. And so we're not doing any kind of sign-ups. You can come, you can go as you please. But here's the thing. Here's why we're doing it. Number one, the Bible says not to forsake the assembly of yourself. Then it says even more so as the days grow. We got to meet more, church. You say, why? It's the will of God. Secondly, we need to understand spiritual truth and spiritual things. So many people just don't understand. They just don't understand the spirit realm, how the Spirit of God operates, how the Word of God operates, when it's so simple. It's so simple. It's so easy. But it's like anything else that you develop in your life takes constant repetition, constant exposure, a constant saturation so that it becomes you. It becomes part of you. You know, these athletes that play on the professional level, those guys are saturated with that stuff. They don't just listen. Baseball, how many games is a baseball? They play like 100. I like baseball, but that's a lot of games, amen? I mean, everything like that, man has pushed to the extreme except his spirituality. Amen. I mean, you name a subject, man has pushed it to the extreme. From sports to education. Amen. I mean, you name it, medicine, you name it, they're pushing it to the extreme. But the simplicity of the gospel and how easy it is to walk in faith and to walk in hope. And listen, that's what a lot of people, I don't understand why people don't do the math. With the same effort that you're always sad and you're always dragging around and you hardly ever can get the victory and you're always complaining and with that same effort, I mean, you're putting forth an effort. I mean, you're moping around, your feelings, with the same effort. Because it takes effort to be miserable. Have you ever been miserable? It's not easy. You got to work at it. Because as soon as you get yourself miserable, then you start working on a person next to you, try to get them miserable too. So it becomes double work. And then everybody else in your life, you're trying to make them miserable because you're so miserable. I'm so miserable. Are you miserable yet? Well, I want to tell you how miserable I am. Amen. When Jesus said this, he said, my burden's easy. My yoke is light. Come and learn of me. That's what he said. Come and then all through the redemptive scriptures in the Word of God, it talks about what? The knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Son, the knowledge of Jesus, the knowledge of Christ being what? That which empowers us. The more we know about Him, the closer we are to Him, and the more we experience Him. Amen? Jesus, listen, Jesus is here. He's right here. I said He's right here. And so I thought He's in heaven. He is. He's in heaven. But His body is right here. Right here. Here's His body. He's here. I said, He wants to act like He's here. Come on. He wants to act like He's here. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Lift your hands and worship Him. Father, we worship You tonight. Now, Lord, give us wisdom. We understand where we're at. We understand. We're not ignorant of the day that we live in. And Father, we know that things are happening very rapidly. And Lord, we know that this wonderful harvest, refreshing revival of God, is right in front of us. And Lord, as we continue to move towards You, Lord, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, righteous and godly things, as we expose ourselves more and more to You, Lord, we thank You that You expose Yourself more and more through us. Father, You said in the last days that Your children upon the earth are given for signs and wonders in the earth. So, Father, for each and every one that's here tonight, stir their spirit man on the inside. Let them be hungry for more, 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 more. Let us not be satisfied with the status quo. Let our prayer and intercession increase. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You're so good. You know, my sister, she sent me a prayer. Y'all can stand. We'll dismiss here in just a moment. She sent me a prayer that was written by Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. It was a prayer and a prophecy that he gave about the end times. And in that prayer, he talked about God raising up an army of people that would pray in the last days. Prayer and intercession. People that would pray. He said, God is raising up an army of men and women that will pray. And this is what he said in the prophecy, though. He said, without it, the darkness would overcome us. He says, it's only the prayer and intercession of God's people that push the darkness back. Well, we know that's scriptural. That's in the Word of God. And so many today, they want an answer. But as the Word of God says, their eyes are blinded by the God of this world. But as we pray and as we cooperate with what God is doing, number one, our prayer helps that blindness to recede from off of the people. Secondly, you've got to cooperate with what? With the protocol of God. If we're not getting masses of people saved here in this auditorium right now yet, then we need to be helping somebody else that is getting masses of people saved. And that's what we're doing in helping people in the nations of the world. So it's a setup. Everybody say it's a setup. And that's the setup you want to fall into, is God's setup, not the devil's setup. Because he's trying to set up people all over the earth. But thank God for the Word of God and for the Spirit of God. And let me say this in my last thing, closing. Your spirit on the inside of you will bear witness with truth. It will say yea and amen to things that are of God. It'll say yea and amen. And listen, and it'll go around religion, it'll go around culture, it'll go around everything. And all of a sudden on the inside of you, you say, yeah, I know that's what that preacher's saying, but that's what God's saying. That's what God's saying. And listen, by those words, by what God says, His Word, that's your protection, that's your safety. That's where God's going to keep us, in the palm of His hand. And listen, many of you I know right now, you're praying, you're believing God. You've got a loved one, you've got a friend, you've got somebody close to you, and you need a breakthrough. You need something to happen. Well, you have a key. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 16? He said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. You've got agreement, you've got authority, but you have to use it. And you have to mean it when you use it. And you can drive back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Lord God. You can drive back the forces of darkness. You can say no to the devil. You can release the authority of God through the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And you can see the devil defeated and demonstrate his defeat in every area of life. And if you will, you can create for yourself a life of heaven on earth as you live in the joy and the comfort of God who loves you and cares for you. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you'll just put out the effort and do it, you'll see that for every step you take toward God, He's already taken five towards you. Be yielded unto Him. Be yielded unto His Word and His Spirit. And I guarantee you the breakthrough you're looking for will happen. And it'll happen quickly. Thank God. Lift your hands and thank Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, for the anointing breaks the yoke. We take authority over every demon force. Over every demon spirit. Hallelujah. We say in the name of Jesus, you're defeated. In the name of Jesus, you're defeated. That which tries to divide families, that which tries to spoil marriages, that which tries to steal the finances of God's people, that which robs the health of God's people, we say no in Jesus' name. Spirits of confusion, spirits of suicide and anxiety, we say no to you in Jesus' name. Father, we declare that an awakening is happening in our midst. That those we are praying for, those that we have been witnessing to, are waking up, are waking up. This is the last days. It's time to serve God. It's time to pull out all the stops. Hallelujah. And be the men and women of God that He's called us to be. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, as we leave tonight, we never take it for granted how faithful You are to watch over Your Word to perform it. We claim Psalms 91 over our church congregation here tonight, those that aren't here, and everyone that concerns us, that we're ministering to, and that's in the peripheral of our life. We declare they are safe. They are protected in their travels, righteous labor of our hands, education of our students, teaching our schools. We declare the provision of God and the safety of God in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, also in our hearts and spirit, you stir evangelism. Let us understand the need to tell people about how good you are and how good Jesus is. Let us celebrate the resurrection every day of our life. Let us celebrate the Christmas season every day of our life. As our God so loved the world, He gave, but He continues to give every day, every hour, every minute. Our God is the consummate giver. Hallelujah. We glorify Your holy name. Lord, we leave tonight walking in faith and love towards You. We love You so much. We leave tonight walking in love toward one another. Thank You for our church, Lord. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ You've called us to be. Thanking You, Lord, here at Island Church. We're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, anointed by the Holy Ghost. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com. Hallelujah, Jesus.